You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Are we recording?
I'm recording.
Safety Third. Welcome to this episode of Safety Third Podcast. Today we're going to talk about all sorts of interesting topics like
injuries, car crashes.
Oh my god,
your favorite.
Do I even go? I think I have to go there.
Well, let's wait. Let's hear what else we've got in the deck.
What else is in the deck, Nigel? What have you brought for today's podcast?
Nothing. Murder.
Murder. Oh, classic. Nigel just sits there and let us do all the hard work of coming up with interesting topics like cheese and fermentation.
Yeah, speaking of fermentation,
I was showing.
No,
look, he's on the booch.
I got some raw kombucha for this booch. One.
You bought kombucha?
I'm on it now.
You are the alcohol one or the non-alcohol?
Yeah, what color is the cap? White or black?
What does that mean?
It's a white cap.
That means
it's non-alcoholic.
Non-alcoholic.
That's actually how they do that.
I'm soft.
I didn't know that. Boy, oh boy. What the past couple of weeks have been quite jam-packed.
Lots of action.
Mm. Lots of pain. Lots of suffering. You know, this is
the first time.
Thank you. I feel like shit. This is the first time in a long time that I have not gotten a video out on the second channel in like 2 weeks. Like, there is a video and I just have to record like an intro to it.
Yeah. No, but you have a good tan. You know, you spend a lot of time outside.
I have.
On the farm.
What's the problem? What's the problem?
The problem is we have 8 episodes of a TV show that are an hour long each that need to be like done by the end of June. So we filmed the open source show. And which I don't even know, when do I say what it is? I think the podcast, wait, what's the 12th? Is that Thursday?
Yeah, that's like less than a week
away. Wait, did it come out already?
It's 3 days.
But this podcast comes out on Thursdays. Is it the same
day? Yeah, same day.
Well, we can say what it is then. Okay, it's called Sauce Plus. That's the platform. And this show is Scare the Coyote.
You've been waiting to say this for so long.
I've been trying so hard to keep it in because I don't know like what I can and can't do without causing problems for someone else. You know when you are doing something and there's other people involved and you like want to talk about it and you're like, wait, I don't think I can. But maybe you can.
You know what this means? You're locked in 100%.
Yeah.
You have to get it out.
Oh, it has to be done.
Yeah.
And so Luke from LTT, yeah, no, it does.
Okay.
I mean, it is done. Well, I would say it's done. I don't really, like the first episode is basically done.
Yeah.
I just literally right now, before sitting down, finished editing the preview for building the bicycles from memory.
Whoa, okay.
So it's like, that's like 3 minutes now or like just under 3 minutes, like cutting. Cause he was like, I don't know. I mean, like I've been stuck in that editing room for way too long.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's hot. So we put the air conditioner in there. It's dark and damp. And
you have like 4 or 5 computers running in there.
Yeah. So there's like the big computer, the Threadripper PC that's like doing all our rendering.
Yeah.
Then there's 2 Mac minis that are just like editing little.
Yeah. People are like, tunneling in.
Yeah. So it's like, I think right now we've got like 5 editors working on like cutdowns, organization, laying things out, and then John is doing these like preliminary edits of like kind of rearranging stuff because you don't want it all in like one straight line. And then I go in and I literally just watch them over and over again, like as I'm editing, and I'm just like just shut, like almost like some horrible sorting algorithm, like adjusting the organization so that like the way that each of us completed the challenges, each of us like I did, kind of flows better.
Yeah, because
it's like, you know, the reveals are so important of how somebody does. I mean, dude, we just talk about it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The drywall, right? So like when you and Emily bust huge holes in the drywall, it's way funnier if everybody already knows that you have to fix the hole.
Yeah, so you like lead them into it. First you show the ones that are like
more
small
normal
holes.
Yeah, so it goes, so it's like Nigel punched a hole in the wall.
I was shocked how many other people had that idea.
Only three. Yeah, but you were the only one who just sent it.
I like only three. You're like, no, three out of the five.
Michael
people.
Was too much. He was like kind of a coward about it. He was like kind of, he like elbowed it. And then once it was sort of broken,
yeah,
he like punched through. You just sent it. You don't care about your hands at all. I've never met somebody except for like really drunk friends in high school that willingly punch things like,
yeah,
I don't know, fully.
Was it him that just walked up and punched it? Or yeah, was that, I think that was Drake too, right?
Drake elbowed it.
I think, oh, yeah. No, I think, oh yeah, he did. He just went, he did a flying elbow.
He elbows everything instantly.
Instantly. And then Nigel punched it instantly. Michael was a little more temperamental. So you're the only one who actually just sent their fist through the drywall. But like,
the chance of you breaking your fist is pretty low.
I know. That's why I said, if I didn't say that it was a good idea. I just said, if there was any situation where you absolutely could do it, it was this one.
were you having flashbacks from when you were punching the car window at Mark Rober's shoot?
Yeah, he talked about it.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah. He's like, oh, like that one time I think I broke my hand. And I'm like, I remember that.
He thought he broke his hand the first time he hit it. And then I think you hit it three more times.
Yeah. Car window. You ever seen people throw a brick at a car?
They make it look
window?
So easy. Yeah. Well, I've seen
the brick and
it bounces off. Yeah, yeah. But then some people
the
punch
problem,
it and it just breaks.
Yeah, because the problem, I feel like it's similar to, do you ever do this when you were a kid where you're in school and you would like karate chop a pencil or something?
Yeah, all the time.
But if you don't go through, it hurts so bad. Like you have to make it through the pencil.
Oh yeah.
But you would sometimes like be scared because your friend stacks like three pencils so you don't hit as hard, and then it just,
it's Harry Potter.
So,
much
so you're like, you have to commit.
But the problem with like the window, you have to commit to put it, to punch it through.
Yeah.
But in the case of the window, if you don't make it through, you will break your hand. It's like, it doesn't just hurt. Like the force you need to go through is enough to break your hand if you don't go through it. So I was punching it hard enough that there was never a chance of breaking it.
Was the window even rolled down?
No.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I think that's like,
didn't stand a
chance. Oh, and I was punching. And I was punching the middle of it. Yeah. I don't think there was any chance to break
that
window.
This is why bridges, it's like bridge engineering with arches and stuff. You're like fighting against the like strongest shape in existence.
The
like
strongest
actually,
point.
Like a round. No.
Yeah, yeah. They're like rounded.
Spherical.
Yes.
Cylindrical is like only strong in one direction. Like spherical is like the strongest shape ever, right? It has to be. Because the force is evenly distributed everywhere. Like a square, if you were to put pressure on it, you like it bows on the sides and then the corners are like stress concentrations. I think a sphere is why eggs are like spherical.
It's hard to load a sphere though.
What do you mean? Like on top? Yeah.
You get like a small point of contact where you're gonna.
But that's why like when you punch it, it like all the force gets like perfectly distributed to the edges because it like it doesn't bend in. And so it just in order to bend in, it has to push out.
Yeah.
So it's like this nice, perfect, like hand-breaking piece of glass.
Wait, so for the challenges, you said that we did all the challenges.
You did all the challenges.
So did you ever like playtest the challenges?
No, we playtested. So Alex and I did one test task. It was, I don't know if we'll do this in the future. We might, we'll probably put it up as like a bonus thing. Because we were trying to figure out like how much we, as like the administrators, should talk to you guys.
Okay.
And so the first test we did was like a lot of talking. And I realized, oh God, we have to like completely tone it back. And so we're trying to like figure out a balance of how much to engage with you guys while you're completing the challenges.
Yeah.
So that it didn't become like, you know, because like you want to focus on
the challenge.
On the challenge, but also at the same time, if you stand there and say nothing, it's a little weird. So it was like trying to like gauge. So that was the only test we did. We didn't actually like physically test any of the challenges.
Oh, so you didn't know what we were in for.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, I mean, which one did we test, John? We tested Skittles. What was the other one we tested? We kind of like soft test. I mean, it was like, I kind of knew that, you know, you're like the YouTuber enough, you kind of know like how hard a challenge should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like the memory one. I just want to know how you would do on some of the tests.
We did test the memory.
Oh, one. You did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh.
I actually had our really good artist do the memory one too.
Okay.
And his are still actually pretty good, but he screwed the bike up as well. He had 30 seconds. And they're like really good.
Oh, okay.
But like the bike, even a really good artist was like, oh God, I don't know how to put a bike together.
Yeah.
But I think everything was kind of like, because it doesn't matter if you complete it or not, right? Like the drywall, you know, like some people might make a big hole, some people might make a small hole. And also, like, yeah. I don't know what you guys are going to do. Like,
yeah, yeah.
We try to give you the flexibility to do something crazy.
Nigel, what was your favorite challenge?
I don't remember. Like, I think you asked me that when they were happening. And once you're done, once I had finished 24 of them, I was like, I can confidently.
I can't even remember which ones we did.
Yeah. It felt like kind of like how you mentioned a lot when you're scrolling on TikTok. It's like,
oh, yeah.
You just, the moment you're done scrolling, you're kind of like, whoa, what did I?
It was a lot.
What did I? It's like, it I know I laughed you and had fun. Them. I just don't really know what I saw. So it's like when you mention them, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that one. And like, I really liked it. But when you ask me, my mind just goes blank.
I think, yeah, once you watch it again, you'll probably come up with which one was your favorite based on like you watching it, not actually which one was good in real life, because you'll have completely forgotten about the bad aspects of them.
Yeah.
And just like the best highlight reel from the edited version. The drywall is so funny. I genuinely think that's one of the funniest things we've ever done. It's so funny to watch you throw the computer monitor.
I should have just left it in the wall. I had like a perfect hole. I could have just plugged the computer monitor in the wall, but I kept going. My hubris is what destroyed me. I flew too close to the sun.
We had a couple other ones I wanted to do. Like there was I had close to 100 ideas in total. I'm not sure how to. It's actually really hard to come up with challenges because you want them to flow well. So like one of the first ideas I had, this is like a long time, it was like last year when we were first like thinking about it, or maybe even longer ago.
Wow.
Was make a cinnamon challenge. So it's not, okay. It's not do the cinnamon challenge. It's make a cinnamon challenge.
Yeah.
And then you put on the table.
What does that mean?
Huh? You know the cinnamon challenge?
What does that mean?
You know, remember where they would like take a spoonful of cinnamon and have to like eat it?
Yeah.
So my idea was like make a cinnamon challenge. And so you read the card and you're like the cinnamon challenge. And it's like, or it's like do a cinnamon challenge or something where it's like,
yeah,
you have to come up with like, you could literally do the cinnamon challenge.
Yeah.
But the wording is like, do a cinnamon challenge. And so you're sitting there and there's like more stuff on the table than just cinnamon and a spoon.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right. So like, can you do something like a straw? Like what is that? Like,
yeah. Just watching people kind of struggle and like just they have to be creative right now on the spot.
There's one really good one. I think the other
put it
one,
in your eyes.
The other one we did that I was kind of like, it was like a little too dangerous. And so we didn't do it was actually, I think this one way too dangerous. It would be like, so the first three people, it would be choose a thing, like cut the grape in half, choose some utensil to do that. So there's like a knife, a hatchet, or like a sword, a chainsaw.
You don't think I think Nigel could do this.
Well, here's the problem.
Yeah.
This is like where I'm kind of like trying to figure out what's the worst thing that could happen. So it's like here, you know, there's a grape on the table.
Yeah.
And
a chainsaw right next to it.
Yeah, choose a chainsaw, a sword, a knife, or a hatchet or whatever. And it's like once you choose it, you can't change your mind. And so then you cut the grape in half and you're like, okay.
And then there's a twist.
And then the twist is that the door opens and there's a fucking stump and it's like cut the stump in half.
Oh.
And then the other half, you do the opposite. I don't know if it would work because it's like the reveal kind of only goes one direction. It's like, you know, choose something to cut the stump in half. And now you're like, cut the grape in half. So like if you chose
you could
the
do
chainsaw,
some people the...
Right.
Yeah.
So we could like flip that, or we just do everyone with the... Start with the grape and end with it. But like if you chose the chainsaw to cut the stump in half,
yeah,
and you have to cut a grape in half with a chainsaw, like it's just not going to go well.
Yeah.
Like
it would be hard if it's just sitting there on a table.
Exactly. It'd be like rolling around. Like you actually probably couldn't do it. And so that one, I was just scared of like, well, if somebody chooses a knife and then we're like asking them to cut the stump in half, like that might go really poorly.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to get hurt. And so we didn't do that one.
Maybe it should be like a 2x4 instead.
Yeah. I mean, we'll come up. There's a bunch of ideas we didn't do.
That would just be all about their reveal.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't possibly even begin with.
Yeah. And so that one, I felt like the idea is funny, but then it maybe actually like plays out kind of shittily.
Yeah.
Like the grape, you're like, okay, fine. And then cutting you're just watching somebody struggle with a knife to cut a log in half. Like, And then they fucking slice their, you know, wrist open and like, oh, maybe not that one.
I kind of liked the challenges that were like semi skill based.
Yeah.
I would say like, can I say
future challenges? I think it's fine. Yeah.
So like the balancing the glass
on the tables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stuff like that where it's like you don't really know. There is still like a luck aspect to it.
Right.
So that was a fun one.
Yeah, I think episode 2 is, that's the one that's on up right now that I still have to edit as of when this was recorded. All the cutdowns have been done. And all the time of like editing the first episode has been all the like the format and the structure, figuring it out. And we still have like, you know, the title card animation, like the show title, the production company titles, like things that we're like figuring out. But the second episode is it Periscope Sandwich, right? No. And then, okay, so Banana Groceries and then Ship in a Bottle. And then the Bicycle Build.
Okay. Banana Groceries, Ship in a Bottle, and Bicycle Build? Okay.
So Banana Groceries was, they had to help carry groceries into the house, but the groceries was just like 500 bananas.
500 bananas.
That was like a little bit skill based or like kind of quick strategy, like quick thinking. Like, how do you?
Yeah.
What's the best way to hold as many bananas as possible?
Dude, I thought I had that one. I'm like, there's no way anybody else is going to have more bananas than me. I was banana maxed.
You had a shit ton. So Michael beat you.
But I think by.
He had the same strategy though.
How can he
also
beat me?
Carried
He's
bananas.
Shorter
he
and smaller. He also
But there's like the like
yeah, he was wearing shorts too.
Yeah. He banana maxed.
He really banana maxed.
There's a shot where Kevin's shoving bananas in his pants and like you had like unzipped your pants.
Yeah, yeah. I was like
just to like shove them in
oh,
there.
Oh yeah, so I can like, have like a wider opening.
You like stop shoving bananas in your pants and like one of them just like pokes out and you just have like this little like banana stump sticking around in your zipper of your pants.
just happened to work out that way, you know?
But yeah, man. It's like the craziest thing we've ever done. Like having this much footage, this, you know, like little time to edit and put it together. And I honestly am like, it's so much funnier than I thought. Like I was kind of worried at first, but it's so good. Like I'm so proud of it.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many good moments in the show. Like, so we were all hanging out like up at my house in between challenges. And Emily was always the first person that would go.
Yeah.
And she would always come back like, oh man, you guys got like, this is going to be messy. You guys need a change of clothes. Like she would come back like covered in stuff all the time. We can never tell what it was. And then like the next person that would go would be like, I don't know what she was talking about. Like, how did she get messy? Like, what do you mean a change of clothes? So watching her do this stuff is always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I just thought was funny about the show in general was I forget which challenge it was. It was, it'll come to me. I remember doing it. And in my mind, there was only one way. I'm like, you had... Oh, it was the bottle with the
ship in the bottle.
Yeah, and first I was like, I did it, and I was like, oh yeah, that's like the that's the only way you could do it. And then I went, and I think I told you this. I went down to go to the confessional thing, and then I saw Drake, and I'm like, yo, Drake, how'd it go? And he didn't want to give anything away, but I guess he assumed that I did it exactly how he did it because there was only one way. So he responded. He was like, oh man, I think I did really well. But he goes, I just wasn't able to get the last bit into the bottle. And then I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, you're supposed to break the ship. It's like, but I was so convinced somehow in that moment, I was like, no, the ship must be intact. You must build the bottle around it. Like this is the solution.
Yeah, and I was worried.
Just Drake saying that, I was like, oh my God, how was I so certain about something when there was such a clear and obvious other way to do it?
I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I was asking grandma, I'm like, do you have more bottles? Do you have more ships? Like, how am I supposed to do this?
I think.
She's like, I have a lot of ships, but that one's my favorite. Yeah. And I'm like, God damn it,
Alex.
I think it's like I don't know like where do you give more hints? Like I think like trying to get into it as informationless as possible
yeah
is the right way to do it, but also at the same time, because we don't have a budget, sometimes it's hard to know, like, oh, can I not break this?
Yeah, because people are going after you sometimes. Yeah. You know?
So I
mean, like, come on, you put a ship, like a big glass bottle on a ship there. Like, you, like, I know that you would know that somebody would do, yeah.
Yeah.
Have to break one or the other.
I don't think anything really.
Oh, no, you can say something.
Oh, I don't think we ever had anything like really bad. Or I guess the worst one
was Emily with the bananas.
Yeah, it was the bananas and then also the glass where I was like, oh God, we don't have nearly enough of any of this.
Yeah.
For this rate of consumption. And so the glass one, I was a little more like, don't go too crazy so we don't run out of stuff.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, well, you see a big pile of, like, you must have raided every Goodwill in, like a 10-mile radius.
Yeah, all the thrift stores, they don't have anything. Or estate sales, too, yeah.
Yeah. There's all a huge antiques, pile of, like, antique glass and, like, wine glasses and knickknacks.
Yeah. So it was... I
just found the tough part was, it's like, you want to go crazy sometimes, but at the same time, you're like... I can't ruin the show for everybody else. Like in grandma's house, because we would be done and you're like, oh, you guys could have been more destructive. But we're like, I don't want to like take things off the wall and break them. And you're like, well, that's the set. We kind of needed that. So, but then you don't want to have the dynamic where you're constantly asking questions.
Yeah.
Oh, you let it go. Yeah, for sure.
We let a little bit go towards the end.
You just don't want to be there where it's like, you're constantly asking, is this okay?
Yeah.
You don't want to be constantly like, is this okay? Is this okay? Because then you're like not really doing what you're supposed to do. So it's like you want to push it, but you don't. Yeah, it's like you want to be crazy, but then there is that understanding that if you go too crazy, you'd ruin things. But then you don't want to ask a billion questions.
I think I realized
I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think it's like that's just how it is, right?
I think the questions are fine. I think that's like one of the notes in the future. Like if we have enough support to do another one, is that we'll like read the card and we won't put the like your time starts now immediately. So that way you can like ask questions. Cause I that was immediately what happened on the first day was everyone was trying to figure out like how to how do we test the waters with this? Like how do we know what we can and can't do? And so I'm like, oh God, we're kind of like just expecting everyone to just figure it out and then we have to tell them to stop if they like destroy something because it's like a tight time too. So how are you supposed to, you know, are you supposed to stop and figure it out and then you run out of time and can't do it? So I think next time we'll do more of a pause so that you guys can ask questions for when there is ambiguity. Like I think we kind of got a little bit better too of knowing which ones are going to be the most confusing. I think.
Mm-hmm.
What are you eating? Which one? You know, like a chipmunk.
I mean, I think even just what could be good is having a rule where it's like anything. It's kind of like because we went to the same sets over and over, right? So it's kind of like there are things like, for example, like grandma's house. You could probably have a rule saying like anything under the table, you can like go crazy with. Like we have
that.
Like
Drake took something. Mm-hmm. Like Drake took the painting off the wall to you. I think a couple people did. It's like, I don't want to
stop. I'm not saying you, what I meant is like, you have a thing where it's like no questions asked. This, you can just kind of like in general, do.
Yeah.
Free for all. But then it's like, maybe it's not necessarily a no, but maybe be a bit hesitant that if your goal was with a hammer to smash everything on the wall, maybe, you know, chill a little bit. But maybe if you want to smash one thing, there might be just a thing where you, I think that's fine. Yes, a question being like, it could even be funny for the video where you're like, how much do you care about this painting? And then someone's just like, and like you kind of get
that's
permission.
Something Michael
in that.
Would do.
I think
and
then
just bash it for no reason.
if we were like going in order, because
that's true. It's
the
hard.
Challenges they won't go in order in the episodes as they come out. And so, like something that was like filmed on day two might go in the last day or something, you know, the opposite. So it's like even in the fireside chat, I'm covered in like pancake batter.
Oh, yeah.
That Jabril threw at me. And so I'm like clearly way dirtier and like nothing in that episode, like makes any sense.
Oh, okay.
He's like, if grandma's living room gets destroyed, then you're like, well, what happened in this one? Like, if all the paintings are, you know, the drawings or the art on the wall is broken, like, I mean, maybe it doesn't matter. It's kind of funny, but like, I don't have a good answer, but I do think that it will be. There's a lot more things for next time that we know how to make it like less confusing. I panicked a little bit when Drake went after the coyote in the coyote. I was like, oh shit. Because I'm like, I don't really know. It's kind of fragile. Like, I didn't know if there was something in there that would break or anything, but it's just kind of like a balloon. It's like a stuffed animal. It's like stuffed with stuff.
Is it still full? Are there bones in there still? You almost found out.
Right. Like, is it cardboard? Like, do they just like roll cardboard up for the legs or something? Like, I don't know. I really don't know, but it's mostly fine. There's only like a couple of seams that are
dense
and seams that are like popping open with fuzz coming out.
Did you always put Michael at the end of the challenges because he was most likely to destroy something?
No, he kind of just ended up at the end. I think because he showed up late, and then we just sort of threw him at the end because it was easier, like, for everyone if we were going in the same order, because then we could remember.
Because some of the challenges you couldn't have had. I mean, if Michael did go first,
it would be bad. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think because he knew also that he was at the end, he could really just go harder. Nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I nothing was that bad. Like, I don't think there was anything that caused any major like continuity or like repair issues.
For the drywall one, I thought it would be really funny if I
punched the second hole.
Yeah, well, it didn't hit the wall, like hit the wrong wall.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, like I think Nigel said, you're like, I bet there's goo behind this wall, isn't there?
Yeah. Great. I say we don't have it rendered. We could just watch it now or part of it now, but we just whatever. We'll do it on the extra maybe.
I was kind of thinking the same thing because all of these challenges, dude, there's so many twists. I didn't know like what to believe, what was real. You know, it's like you have us draw the bicycle and then we have to build the bicycle.
But did you even think
we
for
have
a
to
second?
Punch a hole in the drywall and then we have to fix it?
Was like, there even a moment, Nigel, where you thought that you were actually gonna have to like make the bicycle that you drew?
No. No, I mean, no. Why would I think that?
You unfurling the poster and saying, "Oh no, it's my bicycle."
Oh no! Oh. So sorry. I misinterpreted. I thought you meant when you were drawing it.
Yeah, both. When you were drawing too. Yeah.
When we were drawing, we were just drawing stuff. Yeah. But the moment you said it was the worst bike, I was like, "Oh no!" I thought it was mine. I didn't really remember what I drew, but I knew it wasn't good.
Yeah, if we had...
At least I put pedals on mine.
Yeah. What I definitely would want in the future, I wish we could afford more time.
Yeah.
Like, I think giving, like, 2 hours for the bicycle so that we could, like, make them, like, get pedals and stuff a little more functional would have been nice. Like, the tight turnaround for that, like, was still just like, you know, it's hard to make stuff.
No, I think it was fine.
You think it's fine? But what if we do something else? Does that mean like if we do more building challenges, it has to be something, I guess, that can just fit in that time frame?
Well, you can maybe leave a buffer for like, you know, extending it another 15 minutes.
Well, that's what we did.
Yeah. We used one of those.
And
we
used like two of them.
Did we?
Yeah.
It was that far over?
It was like an hour and 15, and I think we gave 45.
Well, we could have. I mean, turns out there's only one working welder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to give too much away, but Michael literally pulled some black magic and managed to weld stuff together.
You can weld without gas. It's just bad.
The metal will shield the rest of the metal from the air?
No, it just is like, it's like bubbly. It's like bread. It kind of just like turns into like metal foam. And so it's like weak.
I've tried it before. It literally all turned to smoke. Like I was TIG welding without gas and it was just making brown smoke.
God.
The metal was just evaporating.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a good explanation for what happened. There was like a second welder and then,
dude, it's like a miracle. It's like when Moses parted the ocean. Yeah. Michael was able to weld a bike together without welding gas.
Yeah. Yeah.
And without flux core wire.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
Yeah. And remember, like, the power tool racing video that we did? How I made one very stupid mistake on my...
Oh,
I made the same mistake.
Yeah, backwards.
Backwards.
Yeah.
I didn't... Yep. I had no idea.
Because you, like, you cut the back of the bicycle. It's so funny. Like, this, I made this, like, scooter car in high school or college where I just, like, took four electric scooters that I had gotten my hands on that were basically, like, scrapped and then stuck the rear wheels on the front and then the rear wheels on the rear of, like, a metal frame. And you just, like, drive them backwards. And you just kind of, like, stick them down and run the motors backwards. But then you stuck the back of the bike back onto your bike, but you flipped it the wrong way.
Yeah.
You did the same thing. It's like you could have put it on the right way. Right?
So if you're pedaling on a bike normally, the bike goes forwards.
Yeah.
If you flip the bike over, like you're fixing it or something.
Yeah.
And then the pedals are reversed. So if you go the same way,
So when you reattached it, you could have put it the other way, I think. Because it was only on by like one point, right?
Yeah, I think I could have.
So you literally could have just had flipped it and it would have been fine.
I didn't think, I just didn't even cross my mind. Yeah. Like in the power tool video when I put the two angle grinders, like,
right,
just like one was one going forwards and one was backwards.
And you're just like, yeah, sure, whatever. You don't even realize it until you turn it on. You're like, God damn it. Yeah. No, that was, I honestly, like, that was probably like some of the most fun I've had in a long time. But it was so chaotic.
Yeah. We were having
so much chaos
to like steal people's tools.
Yeah. Like batteries and stuff.
Well, and like, you know, I was like, Jabril, go distract them while I like grab the angle. The angle grinder.
Yes, I've seen that. I watched that clip in there.
Yeah.
But no, I so like right now, if everything went well, there's two episodes live. The second one is only on sauceplus.com, and the first one is on YouTube. None of them will ever go on YouTube other than maybe clips at some point. Like we'll post some clips, but the full episodes are on Sauce Plus. And
it's a secret. You can't tell anybody about it. Members only can watch the show.
So every week for the next 6 weeks, a new episode will be published onto Sauce Plus. And then once it's Open Sauce, all the stage content at Open Sauce will go up within the hour of them being recorded. So we've spent way more money this year on the media pipeline. Dude, there's like fiber lines and stuff.
Whoa.
So we're like running fiber lines. Actually, a lot of it's
freaking lasers.
We're doing like direct, like line of sight, wireless transmission for a lot of it. And then everything else is fiber lines so that we are piping like, dude, it's insane. It's like 16 cameras being live fed and recorded. So I have to fly up to LTT this month.
Okay.
To build a NAS with Linus. So they're making a video where they're building us like a 200 terabyte solid state NAS.
Solid state NAS. That's nuts.
Like, that's insane, right? Like, because, like, how big are solid state drives? Like, what, 4 terabytes, 8 terabytes? Like, I don't even buy anything more expensive or any bigger because it's too expensive. Whereas, like the NAS I just built, the disks you can buy, like, the hard drives are, I don't know, like 20 terabytes pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So you have, like, an insane number of solid state drives.
Like, I had no idea that was even a solution that was made.
That's the only way to do it.
You know, like, who would be crazy enough to do it?
Because it's like 10-bit raw video feeds over fiber lines, 16 at the same time, has to get, like, encoded. And so I think we're using a bunch of Blackmagic stuff that they're providing. And it's just, like, Fuji's, like, giving us the cameras to use. I'm pretty sure Blackmagic is giving us a lot of, like, the encoding hardware. And then everything has to get just, like, piped into, like, storage.
Yeah,
and because there's so much at the same time, it has to be done on a high speed.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have people walking around showing off exhibits, right? Yeah,
that's probably going to be done on cards. But like the stage stuff, because it's so much, it's like, OK, so here's the craziest part of the whole thing, right? Like you have four cameras at once and you can't edit them. So you have to live switch. So now you have an operator.
You've got
for
a
each
guy
stage.
Like,
hitting buttons, basically switching between cameras live. That feed is transmitted over one of the data links from each stage. And then that is what gets basically like you put the title card, end card, you kind of encapsulate it. And then that gets, you know, exported or encoded and then uploaded to Sauce Plus in real time. Like,
yeah,
as
it's
fast
being
as
like
it
encoded
happen.
And rendered live.
It's like being switched live. Then the video feed is getting dumped on this NAS. And then once that's the show is done, it'll get pulled into the editing software. Stick the, you know, cut it to sort of the right length, or edit, if it has to, anything has to get cut out or whatever, if someone does something bad. And then you put the front end, the back end, export it, and then it just gets uploaded to Sauce Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so every single stage, like I think all four, are there four stages? I don't know. I can't keep track of everything. We have main stage, second stage, the gaming stage. Is there a fourth stage? Or we're splitting a stage, the industry stage. I don't even remember, dude. I'm not at this point. I can't even, it was such a blur. Not my problem. And so you have three things happening at the exact same time. So you like can't even watch everything at the same time.
Yeah.
And then all the other stuff. So it's, that is essentially what Sauce Plus is. It is shows that we can make that we can't do on YouTube because of just, I don't know, budget basically, and unpredictability of posting stuff on YouTube, like putting all this effort and then it gets, you know, demonetized because of some swearing or something else that's like, oh,
or like this was a big production. Like it wouldn't make sense to put it on YouTube.
Wouldn't
like,
make sense.
It would break even, maybe?
It won't. No, I mean, no.
Then what's the, yeah, exactly.
And then the titles and thumbnails for something like this, like you can't compete in that market because you're just like, you know, oh, repairing drywall. Like it sounds boring, but like when you watch it, it's funny as hell. So basically it's shows that we can't make on YouTube, the live version of Open Sauce, and then everyone that creators are uploading videos to it with a higher rate than like a 10 times higher rate than YouTube. So if you put your videos on Sauce Plus, then we get 10 times the ad rate that YouTube gives us.
Sign me up.
So basically it's like supporting creators, you get the shows, you're supporting Open Sauce, and you get the live event. And there's like, we've done, I think there's like three shows going on right now. So there's workshop tours. We're doing a sort of like factory, like showing things being made show.
Okay.
Kind of, you know, maybe a little bit similar to another show that exists where stuff's being made that's old and outdated at this point. And then that's it. I mean, just whatever other show ideas that we have capacity and budget for.
Is it Ponder This Assembly?
It is. I think, are we doing Built Different? It's Built Different.
Oh, that's cool.
And then the, what's the workshop tours called, John? Good Spaces.
Cool.
I didn't come up with that one. I think that title could have been better, but whatever.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner! Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Way to throw somebody under the bus. I like it.
It's fine.
What are some other things that you, do you have anything else in the works? Like you told me some supervillain thing.
Yeah, we're brainstorming ideas for like kind of a shorter sort of like micro podcast. So like Michael and I had an idea years ago where imagine you are like, you got kidnapped and you're being held hostage by like a supervillain.
Okay.
And they like force you to build horrible things.
Okay.
So the idea is that like the people that are in this room are thinking like you have an engineer and then a more like kind of normie funny YouTuber, someone like Ted Nivison or Daniel Thrasher. I haven't asked them yet, so I still need to ask them if they're interested in this. So like the engineer and then the not engineer have to like, they're captured. Like their family's going to be murdered by the supervillain if they don't build these horrible things.
Yeah, so they have, Do you want to try it?
So imagine, so Michael and I did try this.
Okay.
And it turns out that trying to do like a full length, like a, whatever 40 minutes or an hour is like way too long to talk about one horrible topic, and you really need like a lot of lore building, like kind of world building, in order to like not feel like you're, everyone's just excited to build a machine that kills babies.
Yeah So it's like you're being forced.
Yeah, so like imagine like we can build a set that's like a lab, right?
Yeah,
because like everyone's seen the or whoever's seen the business podcast, the Sauce Plus business podcast that we started, is like this cool bodega right in front of us. It's like a liquor store. Like, you know, we're like slowly building up a team of people so we can like build cool stuff, but we need more space to do it. So you build a supervillain lair, like just like a single backdrop, like, you know, like the vacuum tube and stuff in there. You know, where you like go to the pharmacy or whatever, and they look, or the bank, and they'd be like, thunk, the tube comes down.
Yeah.
And you open it up and it's got like some fucking awful idea in it.
Have you seen the TV show Chernobyl?
I have wanted to. I've not.
So I feel like the control room would be like a perfect set. And I know that you know somebody with a power plant. Oh, yeah, yeah, and that would be.
Steal the control room from there?
Yeah, yeah. Just ship it over, you know?
So imagine like
they can put it in like garage.
Like what would like, what would happen if you put a, you know, a person in piranha solution or a puppies? We want you to like put a live puppy in piranha solution. Describe to me what that would be like. And your family is going to get killed by the supervillain if you don't appease him.
I'm supposed to do that
John is holding a gun to our head right now.
And he's asking, he said, Nigel has to describe what would happen if you stuck a live puppy into piranha solution.
We're going to die. Well,
I'd have to think about it.
Run some simulations.
You don't have anything? What would be the first thing that starts to be dissolved?
So, well, I mean, you throw the puppy in, right? Like the first question I have is the puppy in a good mood or a bad mood? Like, is he fighting being thrown in, or is he kind of one of those dumb puppies? He kind of leaps when you throw
him. He kind of leaps.
Yeah, okay. like a lobster, maybe when the water's not hot enough.
Yeah. So like the big thing about piranha solution is what helps it a lot is when you mix the peroxide and the sulfuric acid, I think it goes up to like probably like high 200°C. I think. So it's like not even the acid. It's just straight up being like dumped into near smoking cooking oil. Like that just the heat alone is enough to, you know, cause instant pain. I'd probably singe off all of your nerve endings, honestly. But I feel like the
I don't know
the
if that's evil enough. Boss, is that evil enough?
Yeah. No.
I feel like there'd be some screaming for I think a short period of time.
Oh God.
Until the
very short.
Like 30 seconds?
My estimation would be between 5 and 10 seconds.
That's it?
Between 1 and 10 seconds.
Okay.
I've widened it. Less precise.
It's also a very dense liquid, so I think it would float to the top.
So you'd like it would help you last longer.
Yeah.
And as it tries to swim, you'd see all his fur just like and skin just
see,
melting
what I'm
off
talking
and
about.
Turning
now
into,
imagine like the right setting. There's like
and
the
it'd be
threat
it'd be bubbling and turning to carbon. Actually, yeah. So
honestly,
like,
though, he's getting too excited. Puppy, yeah.
Well, you get a raise. The puppy would be screaming and then eventually stop, but its whole body would get dissolved, right?
I could see
but
you going places in this organization.
If its head stays above water, above the piranha,
the
they'd
big
be
boss,
bubbling.
The
be
big
crazy.
Boss wants to trade
It'd
places with you. He wants to put you at the top. He wants to make you the supervillain.
Yeah. That's fucked up, Nigel.
But eventually the body would disappear and then the head would fall in and roll back and you'd see that the whole body was gone. And then
it would say, why?
And then the head head would disappear. And then
that's like an idea that you could have people submit ideas to.
Yeah.
Like that
yeah.
would be fun. You just, you know, let whatever nightmare fuel that. You know,
or it's like the fax machine starts going off and it's like a letter comes out.
I think the vacuum tube is the funniest.
Oh, like, yeah. Thunk. Yeah.
And you have to pull it out and open it. And it's like, what other show ideas are there? We have a lot of like, so like the hard part with, you know, doing anything like this is it's just the cost. And then also like getting creators out, right? So like if we were to do, like if people like Scare the Coyote enough that we do another one, like everyone has to come back out for another week. We have to, you know, pay the whole thing again. Like it will be cheaper, but we'll still have to like, you know, spend money on time. Like time's the most expensive part. And so like getting everyone to come out is for that long is like a lot, a big ask. And then we probably would need more space. And so it all just kind of depends on how much people want more of this stuff and support it directly.
Yeah.
But, you know, like more sets and things, like we would need, like we pretty much just like taken up all the free rooms.
I'm so excited that, you know, I hope everybody here goes and looks at and watches, just watch the first episode.
Give us your money so we can do more shit.
Yeah, give us your freaking money. I want to
sign up for at least
so cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Wait, how much is it per month?
$7? If you buy the year, it's $5.50 a month, but times 12. So it's like you basically get 2 months free. So otherwise it's like or a little over $7 monthly.
With nowadays prices for everything, I always think about that when there's like a streaming service that it'll be like, you know, $10 and you're just like, oh, I don't want to pay that monthly. But then I go and buy like a bubble tea for like $11.
Yeah. This is literally cheaper than a meal at McDonald's.
No, it is. It like actually
this kombucha I got was $6. So it's like literally just a consumable thing that lasted me what, like 20-30 minutes.
Yeah, this show will give you way more dopamine than this, than that kombucha.
It will be, especially with all like the behind
the ultimate
stuff.
Is drinking the kombucha and watching the show.
Dopamine will be better with the blackwood kombucha though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think I've seen on like looking on YouTube or even like Amazon that when they try to get you to buy a show, even like an episode of the show, it'd be like the standard, the SD version of a 20-minute show to like rent it is like $2.
Oh yeah, what the hell?
And then you're like, oh, the HD one is $3.99. You're like, I'm gonna pay $4.
I can't believe they still do that. Yeah, it seems it's ridiculous.
Who the hell pays for one episode of a TV show
in standard definition?
In standard definition, like, are you shitting me? Or even a movie? Like, you ever rented? I've rented a movie like once on Amazon, and it was like such a shitty experience. Of you had to pay the like whatever, and then it gives you like 24 hours to watch it. So like if you pause it or something and you're like, oh, we'll finish the rest tomorrow. You're like, oh, it's too late. It like canceled.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's so messed up because right now if you go on Google and you're like streaming movies, like what's new, what to watch, it'll tell you to go on Amazon because there's this movie, you know, it's like this movie's on Amazon. You go to Amazon and it's locked behind some other third party paywall.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's like the worst experience. Yeah. It's like, oh cool, they have like the new Twister movie or something like that.
Yep. One of the like dozens.
Well, because that's what was happening. It's the new
TV.
I think it's some show that came out recently, it's on Apple TV. But then when I went online, it says like, oh, on Prime, and I'm like, oh, cool. So I actually signed up for Prime. I go there. Well, I have Prime for like business Amazon, but for some reason they don't give you the streaming. So I signed it up under with my personal email. I go there and they go, oh, you can to watch it, just link your Apple TV. And I'm like, why are you advertising? God. This is on Prime.
Yeah.
It's literally not.
I think
we will never do that. And so then to you, you're going to have to pay for everything.
We literally don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I wish.
I literally no idea.
Well, when I do find out.
So
you have to promise that when you do find out how to do it, that you won't do it.
There's an app. There's an Android app. Well, the iOS app actually has been approved already.
Okay. Yeah.
The Android app, as of now, so it might be approved by when this podcast is out, is waiting for approval. I'm pretty sure that there's a Roku app in process too. It's like the benefit of you know, working with LTT is that Floatplane, which is their platform, which is what, you know, Sauce Plus is essentially built on top of, is tied to it. So like the code bases are sort of like connected.
Okay.
And so once they finish the Roku app, I should probably like, I'm like talking on my ass right now because this is a long time ago we had this conversation. It will then happen as well. Cause I don't really know where people like to watch stuff. Like, is it on their TVs, is it on their phones, like a combination? Like, I kind of watch everything on my computer.
Yeah.
But like having a Roku app then allows you to just put it directly on your TV.
Well, 50% of my YouTube views are from a TV now.
Yeah. So that's
really
important.
Yeah. Like, shorts is different, but like for long form, 50%.
They don't even let you watch shorts on TV. It breaks.
Oh, does
the
it?
The whole thing breaks. Yeah. If you're using the YouTube app, like if you're connected from YouTube to your TV over your Wi-Fi, it won't let you play shorts.
Oh, interesting.
I've tried. I'm pretty sure it won't. It'll just say like, it'll like the app will close now, and then it'll like play it on your phone. But yeah, so it's kind of just trying to figure out like, is this something people want to watch on their TVs? Is it on their computer? How many people like have like a computer hooked up to their TV? Like, I have no idea. I'm assuming at some point there will be a TV app.
I mean, with smart TVs now, like hooking your computer up to your TV is less common.
Yeah,
I no, feel. I agree.
Can we get the Scare the Coyote on Amazon? And no, and then you look it up, you look for it on Google, it says it's on Amazon, but then you have to pay.
They have to pay.
That's how we do it.
They, I think, I don't know why. I, the only thing you're I can think of.
Connect your Sauce Plus account
to it. They like let you, like, I think they'll just do anything that makes more money. So, yeah. Like, if having Apple play through Prime is like a good business decision, because they're just like, oh, well, people have the Prime app on their Roku, and then they can watch the show that they're then paying us, and we just give Amazon a small cut or something.
It's all coming back. It's like
TV.
It's TV again.
Yeah.
You're going to buy like this one streaming service that bundles all the other streaming services together, and you have channels again.
And the craziest part is like,
no,
nobody would give us money to do a show like this. Literally nobody. Nobody. And we can't do it on YouTube. Like, there's no fucking way to do this. Because if you do a show, I mean, you saw like, I actually haven't watched any of the Mr. Beast Amazon show. Like, you have so many people like in your ear and up your ass because like, they've given you their money.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have to work with like other people's money, they don't have expectations from you. You can just do whatever you want. Like, you can act like, we've pitched. I remember this is, I don't know how much of this I've shared, but we a long time ago started talking to, remember the Fine Bros?
Yeah.
The before they got canceled.
I think you've. Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me about this.
Yeah, they came to us with a, they were like, hey, we have like, we want to do like a science show where you, I don't remember how much we brainstormed or if they, how much of the pitch they just gave us. It was like, I think they might have just like come to us with the entire pitch of reinventing the wheel, where you like go through old patents.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So we like find old patents, and then the show is, you know, the idea is like you just find these like batshit insane patents. So like, we've kind of like done some YouTube videos in the same regard of like, here's like the hamster tube outfit, or there's some truly cursed patents though. And it's like, okay, we have a pitch, you kind of put it together, you put like a cast together. So you like, it could be like me, I think Jabril, and who was the third person? Was it you, or was it
I don't think it was Michael. Alan?
Oh, it might have been Alan. I think it was Alan. And then it was like, okay, cool. So we've like given them what they want. It's like, here, we've given you like a sort of unique show that historically kind of does well. We've given you like a diverse, talented cast. We've given like, we kind of like tried to like hit all of the points that be like someone would be excited about this.
Yeah.
And literally like nothing ever came of it. And then if something did come of it, you would have everyone telling you like, oh, you have to do this. You got it. That we need this. We need that. And they would just turn it into this like horrible TV.
This
nightmare.
Is my show now.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be like, that's not what people want. And it's like, no, it is what they want. Why are you telling us that we can't do this stupid thing? Like, why does it have to be perfect? Like, why, where is this like obsessive, like perfection, this like OCD for trying to polish everything coming from? I mean, YouTube is like, well, I think maybe Nigel is sort of like the most polished of anybody we know for their, with their content, but it's still like, even then is,
I'm trying to unpolish.
Unpolish. They'll like polish it to the detriment of like the entertainment, I think. You gotta like get the line out in one take so that there's no cut. You gotta this, you gotta that. And then it just comes across like you've said it 1,000 times and it's scripted and blah, 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 blah.
And then they have to get the shot of you walking into this, the hero shot, the slow-mo shot of you pulling up, dude, getting out at the new location every time.
How many
time.
Of those did you do? Well, like a million?
Dude, so I wanted to kill myself. Every time they said hero shot,
you're like,
I'm like,
oh!
this is it. Yeah,
this is my villain arc.
One of these times I'm just going to keep driving the car right off the bridge.
The hero shot was the beginning of my villain arc.
And it just like slowed everything down. It's like, you show up, you get to set. And then they're like, okay, now like go back and walk way over there and like just walk towards the camera again.
They're filming like 400 frames a second.
Yeah, and then they're like, actually, can you walk to the right of the camera this time?
Oh my God.
And the other person walks to the left of the
and
camera.
The editor doesn't use any of the parts you walk past the camera. They just use the parts as you're approaching it. And then they actually speed it up. So you're like,
I think it's just like a time filler.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that a lot of it comes from, and I've seen it myself just in, you know, running things on the channel, where it's like, if you have the more you consolidate like the power on the set into one person, mm-hmm. the more efficient you'll be. But obviously it's more liability because that one person has like, you know, if they make a bad decision, then everything's
honestly,
bad.
Though,
but I find that with those,
sometimes having a fucking like, loose cannon, even if it makes it worse, might yeah. actually also simultaneously make it better.
So I find the problem when you have a big cat, like a big, not cast, but like, a, sorry, a big staff of people working is that even if they're all competent, the problem is, for example, like all the shots Kevin's saying that they're making you get, a lot of it is the guy might even go, I don't think we need these, but I don't want the editors to get mad at me.
Yeah, like, I don't think that's what it is. Like,
nobody wants to get in
trouble.
It's
like a lot of people are like, no one, so it's like, I'll do the extra thing, or it's like, yeah, that line's probably good, but I'll have him say it three more times just so that like we do have options, even though I do think that's good.
Yeah.
If it was his own production, he would have went, okay, that's it. Love it. We're done. Let's move on. But you just don't want the client to come back and be like, I don't like that. Well, where are your other takes? And you're like, oh, I decided not to take any. So it's like everyone just kind of pads everything with extra stuff because they're not doing it for themselves. Whereas like you said, if you have those sets where you have like the maniac director who kind of like
unhinged
controls everything, yeah. it's either amazing and everyone loves it or it's just hell on earth.
Yeah.
That's
no,
like,
I agree.
There's no in between.
I think it's what we've kind of like, I think a lot about this stuff, trying to figure out like, how do we do things better? Like, how do we, like, where do these problems come mm-hmm. from? And I'm pretty sure it's literally people not wanting to get in trouble. Like when you look at like why yeah. TV is so bad,
yeah,
it stems from like every single part of it, people not wanting to get in trouble. Like if you are the director, like you need to make sure that you get this like thing that's good enough for your boss.
Yeah. And if you're right? the sound guy, you have to make sure yes. that your microphones aren't going to die in right. the shoot. So you're like changing batteries yes.
all
the time.
And so it's like slowing things down. And so each person like subsequently does like as sort of sterile of a job as possible to guarantee they won't get into trouble. And it totally makes sense. Like, why would you take a risk to try to make something better?
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't make it better, you would never get hired again. But if it does make it better, nobody appreciates it. It's like there's no point
like
in taking the risk.
Slowing down before a shot seems to be like perfectly okay and normal. It's like, okay, got to make sure everything's ready. But man, if something goes wrong in like during a shoot.
Yeah.
Then that's what they're afraid of.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, if it's too...
I was going to say the thing, like, it gets even... I find it gets even worse when the people who are concerned are the ones who are, like, more detached from the project. So kind of like as you go up the ladder.
Mm.
So the people who are financing it, like the guys who just want to make money, they have no control over the production. And then it's like, if they find out that, you know, the director did this, that was a little bit weird, they just panic. They go, oh, there goes my $50 million. So it's like they're panicking because they have money on the line and maybe they had people investing in them. So then they put pressure on the whole production to just be like, don't do anything crazy and stupid. Like, we need to make the money back.
Yeah.
Like just and then it's
safe.
Like that,
make
I think,
safe.
Has the
make
biggest sterilization.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, this director's like, no, I think we're going to do it like, it's like, no, you do not do it like that. You do it in the way that's going to make me my money back. And then, like you said, just from the top down, that just trickles down to where everyone is just doing extra work. And it's so risk-averse.
They're trying to polish themselves. Like everything is, is like, we can reduce risk by like sterilizing and over-polishing.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do technically do as good of a job as I can so that I can't possibly get in trouble for something going wrong. It's like, well, the camera work was fine. Well, the audio was fine. Well, this was fine. That was fine. And it's like, so everyone's sort of like, until someone just says go, they'll keep kind of like, they'll try to like keep perfecting it, like get it set up right, get the lighting perfect. And so it's, I can totally see how these things, you know, balloon cost-wise.
Yeah.
And then they balloon time-wise and then they become like super boring and unfun.
But I think the overall, like for some reason in my mind, this pops in my head. I'll be like, it just basically becomes like a movie index fund where it's like, you're never going to You're probably not going to lose your money. You're probably not going to do amazing.
Yeah.
That's what people want. The guy goes, I want to put 50 million in and get 55 million out.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I want. And if I can keep making movies like that, I will keep putting my money in. And then that's it. You're incentivized to literally just make those, you know, steady middle of the road things. And I think just the whole ecosystem works together to kind of like churn that out.
Imagine now if you're making stuff like shows. And you just, all you have to do is like spend, you like have a budget to just spend.
Yeah.
And you don't have to like worry about the return because you've made it efficient enough that just making stuff, like you just remove that pressure.
Yeah.
And it's like, just make science stuff. And if it doesn't perform well with people, then you just don't do it again. And you have something, it's like, so like you're incentivized to make stuff that people want to watch, not stuff that makes a return, because the return is directly tied to people wanting to watch it, if that makes any sense. Instead of whatever the, you know, like, I'm not even sure what conversation happens for like a Marvel movie. Like, what do you like? Is just it like
another
let's
Superman?
Make it good. Like, well, obviously we should make it good. So then it's like, let's make it.
Well,
make
what
a
if
bunch
we just
money.
Did another Guardians of the Galaxy instead?
Right. It's like, well, we to make money, we got to make sure it has a sequel. And you're like, well, that's I don't think that's the right way to start a movie.
Yeah.
Is by planning for a sequel.
Is Robert Downey Jr. available
again?
Again, is the Hulk free
again? Like, I don't know. I kind of feel like there's a couple of, you know, places that are a couple of like platforms that are doing it like right, where they're just making stuff that the audience that's subscribing wants,
yeah,
and the audience is paying for it directly, instead of like Netflix just making shit for whatever reason. I literally have no idea what the hell is
what is Netflix? I couldn't even tell you. It doesn't make sense anymore.
I don't understand, because Netflix, I remember when they started making their originals, it was like every single one was like, whoa, this is
a banger, banger, banger.
And then it was like exceptional TV. Yeah. And then you watch one and you're like, wait, was this a Netflix production? Like, that's weird. I literally go back to the beginning and it says like, I check and it says like a Netflix. I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
There's
so
no
garbage.
Way.
Like, this is,
if this was 20 years ago, Netflix would be like single-handedly employing every DVD company VHS manufacturer.
Just like spitting out all the
shitting
crap.
Out direct to DVD, direct to VHS, even worse. Like, They're churning out direct to VHS garbage. Like, actually, like, some of these movies on Netflix are so bad.
It's almost they just put their logo
on shit they
on
found
shit.
In
I think
the
that's
gutter.
What it, it's
I
like,
think
there's
that's
no
what,
way they made
I
this, right?
I think people, no, I think people literally pitch, like, that's what I see people now, like, people have, like, documentaries and stuff. They'll be like, they pitch them to different, I guess, publishers. Is that what they were now? Because back in the day, it would be like a production house or whatever.
Yeah.
And a distributor you'd pitch it to. But I guess nowadays it's like you pitch it to Netflix and they're like, oh yeah, we like it. And they slap their name on it and pay you some money. But yeah, some of the stuff, I don't know who is deciding that this is good. Like, it's just, some of it's so unwatchably bad.
South Park called it years ago. They're like, hello, this is Netflix, you're greenlit. Hello, this is Netflix,
really?
You're greenlit. Yeah.
I feel like there's like nobody even looking at stuff. Like, what is the business model? Like, you just like, okay, here's my thought. If I went on to a new platform and I immediately found two things that I wanted to watch, that's huge. Like, that
pretty
to
good.
Me would be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
When I go on Netflix, I literally barely ever can even find one thing I want to watch. And usually the only reason I go on Netflix is because I've learned that you could only, like, I found it online. And it was like, oh, you can only see it on Netflix. Like, it's a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'll log into the Netflix for the first time in like 6 months. Because, you know, everything's quarters, right? It's like you've got your you know, sort of like winter, spring, fall, summer, fall quarters, you know, for like shows.
Releases and stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, anime works like this too. It's like you have, you know, stuff starts in January, new stuff starts in like April, new stuff starts in like June.
Okay.
And so it's like they have these kind of segments.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I go on to something like even Max, like to watch that one show, I literally can never remember the mushroom one. I can't remember the name.
Oh, Common Side Effects.
Common Side Effects. I actually never even finished it because I literally don't go on Max because there's nothing else on Max I want to watch.
I can't believe it. These companies are bazillionaires. Yeah. Like, look at Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
What the hell do they do? They curate other people's content and charge you for it.
Give me two shows. Like, if a platform has two things on it I want to watch.
It's like, why am I giving you money if you're not really giving me anything like good?
Yeah. Paying for one show feels cringe.
Yeah.
Paying for two things feels totally justified.
Yeah.
And I very, like, the only place I get that, and it still requires a lot of digging, is Crunchyroll, because I just like trash. Every other platform is like nothing. Like it's actually just turbo trash.
Apple TV is good. They're the only one that I still go on and I'm like, wow, like that was a good show. That was a good show. Oh, like I can't wait to watch this show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apple TV is the only good one.
How much does that cost?
I think it's $12 a month.
Ads or no ads?
No ads.
Really? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Netflix is way more than that, right? I actually don't even know why we're on Netflix anymore. Like I would love to cancel it.
Yeah. How much is Apple TV? Fact check me.
Or $40.
Yeah, I know.
The last time I tried to sign up for Apple TV,
like,
yeah,
I raged.
You were...
There was something horrible. No, I can't remember.
$9.99.
It was exactly. I think I was trying to watch Severance. I was trying to watch Severance. So I went on. I think that was what I went on my.
You
Prime,
better be careful
like,
what you say
you
next.
Apple TV.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
No. You know what? So I was like, I'm gonna go onto Apple TV, and I think it took me 30 minutes, and I failed to sign up because I forget what happened.
Because you probably like, weren't so, doing
you
it
probably
on your
need
iPhone
like,
or your iMac.
Yeah, your Apple ID.
With
and then
the
you got to remember what
your
stupid
and
your password is.
Oh, no.
Card.
Yeah.
I think it was a bunch of stupid stuff, but I think I was in Brazil at the time. And they were like, you're on a Brazil ID. So you. No, it was you're on a Brazil IP, but your account is registered to Canada. So you
and that
just,
makes no
I
sense to us because
up.
We don't know
like
about
that.
Vacations and travel.
Yeah, you're probably just like selling
so
your
I couldn't,
subscription.
Wait.
Oh, they thought you were trying to get. Well, why wouldn't they just charge you for the American price or the Canadian price, which is probably the American price?
I don't know. Yeah. I think I was like not able. There's some like I
they,
raged.
Wait.
I was like
they
I
wouldn't
I
let you make an account.
I remember it was like,
what?
No, I have an account on Apple TV.
It wouldn't let you use it.
I'm trying to remember what happened.
It wouldn't let you use a they more expensive wouldn't. Subscription in a country with a less expensive subscription.
Oh no! Sorry. This
probably
was
like
this
licensing
was,
and
was,
and you know how those rights work.
Yeah, but
it's
yeah,
a nightmare.
You have an, if you have,
I think it was this. I think it was. Stuff. I think I was in Brazil. Oh, I was in Brazil, but I think it's because I had a Brazil IP, so they would only give me the price in, like the Brazilian price.
Yeah.
But then every time I tried to do it, they're like, "Sorry, we can't give you this because you have a Canadian address."
They charge you for the
Canadian. So I tried to go to the Canadian website, and they're like, "Sorry, you can't access this because you're in Brazil." It was some.
This is a great
I don't remember.
Time for a VPN
I don't remember what it was exactly. Yeah. I just remember being like screaming at my computer screen, and be like, "Let me pay you! I just want to give you my money."
I know.
And then my girlfriend had to sign up, and then there was like a whole problem.
Wait, it's Brazil. You can just download whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's a free country.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I just remember it took 20 or 30 minutes and I gave up. I couldn't pay for it. Mm, like I could not actually pay for it.
That's
I'll give you my login.
You know why I would be like I wouldn't even consider Apple TV?
Huh?
You know why I would never even consider getting Apple TV?
Why?
Because in my mind, I feel like, oh, I probably need some special device to use it.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Like I don't know how
that's
it started.
That's maybe why they put it on Prime.
Is that how it started? Like they had their literally their Apple TV, and it was just like their sort of one button TV experience. Like they sold a TV. They probably still sell TVs.
I used to have that. It's like their version of the Roku.
Yeah. And so like in my mind, ever since Apple TV launched, however long ago it was like, oh, you literally have to buy the hardware.
Oh, wait, because it's Apple TV Plus, I think. Is this,
I have no idea.
I think.
So in my mind, I literally cannot
I just feel like not having
Apple
an
TV.
iPhone.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I don't have an iPhone, like, so at the moment, there's an Apple product.
Assume,
I'm like, oh, I probably can't use it.
I assume there's this enormous Apple-style hurdle in between me. It's like, oh, you want to watch these shows? Well, now you have to go buy some special thing for $150. Like, the show is used to, like, bait you into,
like, the ecosystem.
They have brain damage over there, dude.
Yeah.
It's, like, actually
well, everybody
nightmare.
Does, apparently, because they fall for it.
Yeah, it's true. Like, I don't know. I don't know how people
Well, newsflash, teenagers have brain damage.
You don't actually
like
need a special TV for it?
Yeah. No, you don't. But you know what it is? I just remembered this. I think it's even worse because when I bought my Apple TV hardware, like back in 2015 or something, they also sold a better model. And I think it was called like the Apple TV Plus.
And then they
or
the sold
Apple
TV,
TV
Pro,
Plus Pro Max.
Pro Maxing. I don't get it. Like, just tell me what it cost.
Yep.
Why? What is this stupid? Like, just what happened to just make something good? And people pay for it. When did that die?
I don't know.
Forever ago?
And they don't have a lot on there, but it's like such, it's high quality. So you know when the new season comes out, it is going to be good.
It's like good Netflix.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes me feel like it's maybe more worth it.
I wish people would give us more money.
Yeah.
I wish people would give them more money so they could like just make the shows faster.
Yeah. I don't know if that's how that works.
I just think the cycle of making things bad,
but we won't make them faster.
I just think the cycle of making things bad is kind of, I don't know, it just happens all the time with everything. Like, think about it with restaurants. It's like a restaurant opens, it has amazing reviews, you know, like lineups out the door, everyone loves it. And then you'll fast forward like 6 months or a year later, and it's like inedibly bad because they just cheaped out on everything.
You find one rat in one burger, and suddenly you're the rat burger restaurant.
But maybe you look at the finances and it wasn't, you know, doing that great at the beginning. I don't know. But I find that it's such a trend where someone would have something that's going pretty decent. And let's say because you bought high quality stuff, your profit's not like, you know, crazy. Right. You're sitting there being like, hey, I'm making pretty decent profit, but I could double my profit, but only make everything 20% less, like crappier. And everyone's like, I'll try to like just slowly, you know, make things worse. But then before you know it, it's like the reviews are terrible. And, you know, you drive by it a year later and the restaurant is like closed. Yeah. And you're just like, you should have just been fine not trying to maximize your profits. And I feel like it's the same thing with all the streaming services and stuff where they're like,
but dude,
they literally are doing something right.
Like Netflix is doing something right. I have no idea what it is. Like genuinely.
Yeah.
Like if this was causing them problems and they knew that making better shows was a solution, I'm pretty sure they would do it. Like I don't know what it is, but it definitely is working. Like maybe it's just the sheer number of different shows makes people feel like there's a lot of value. Maybe it's like the platform constantly having like different thumbnails on it gives like value. Like I genuinely
tricks people into thinking there's more shows than there is.
They think there's more stuff than there actually is. Like I'm genuinely, they have so much money to lose. They've min-maxed the shit out of this.
If you go ahead, Nigel, at
your restaurant, thank you, Kevin. At your restaurant, you don't have to make good food. You just have to make people think it's good food.
Yeah. Like actually, they half of like up high end restaurants, like that's what they do. It's the same suppliers. They're just cooking the eggplants with like more butter than a cheaper, healthy place.
If anybody
add a pound of MSG. Yeah.
So if anybody like tries to cancel their subscription to this platform, our platform.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It just keeps charging.
It just keeps charging you.
It just keeps charging.
And then if they say like what, like, you know,
no, it is double charges.
And then it keeps charging.
An exit survey, right? Yeah. And it says like, oh, do you have any of these other streaming platforms? Yeah. And if they say that they have Netflix, it's gonna immediately call my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna yell at them.
Show up at their house.
I'm gonna say, how dare you?
Kick them in the nuts.
Yeah.
No, I definitely cannot imagine paying like if it's not my choice to pay for Netflix. I'll just say it's not. I think I pay for like only a handful of things. It's like Prime Video because we just, you know, you have Amazon Prime also, so like it comes with it. Oh, they do play ads though.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't know that because I watched it on my computer.
Oh, with ad block.
I went to watch on my TV and I was just like, what the hell is this? Like we pay for this. Like it used to be free. Why are there ads now?
I can download apps on my TV. Why can't my TV be an ad blocker? I guess I need a pie hole.
Yeah. Which I do have one, but it's not, it's a long story.
What's a pie hole?
It's like a DNS for your network that sort of just blocks things. Like your router talks to it. And then the router is like, okay, I do this, I do that. It's like I would say it's like an extension to your router, basically.
Yeah.
It just tells it what to not let.
But I guess because the ads are like slipped in, so it's like an extra thing.
They usually come through a different server, though.
Wasn't that? I think it was YouTube and other places are figuring out how to on their server side slip the ads in, so that you actually can't ad block them.
I think
that would be easy.
Unless they're streaming it. I think the pie hole maybe does something different because it's at a network level. I don't know. I mean, I don't see. I don't know.
No, I'm saying that like YouTube on their server,
they're injecting into the video stream.
I think you're saying that like in real time, they inject it into the video stream real time.
Then you can't skip it.
That's like something people were thinking about that. That's like the way to defeat ad blocker because you cannot differentiate it between that and the normal video.
That's evil. Do we get more money though? Then it's not evil. Then it's sick.
Yeah.
Watch our ad revenue.
It's
up,
it's
like,
kind of funny. It's like how Corey was kept comes up to me the other day. He's like, "Yo," he goes, "Do you remember when CPMs on the YouTube channel was like, you know, really low? Like you'd be getting like, I think the average was like a buck or two.
Yeah.
And then over the years, it's gotten more and more and more. And then we're at a family dinner just yesterday. And my dad turns on the TV, and all these Corey's trying to control the TV, and all these ads pop up. And he's like, "Holy hell! I know why our CPMs are so good now." It was like 2 in a row, 30-second unskippable ads. You know, and Corey's just like, "Yep, I can see why our CPMs are good."
For how annoying that is, because like I cannot stand that. I'll just rage and leave. Like, yeah. I will not sit through that crap. I do not understand like how little money it actually brings in. Like, that's obscene. Like, imagine paying somebody like a fraction of a penny to like sit down and watch like 4 or 5 ads in a video. Like, nobody would do it. So like, where is this, like, all this hesitation?
And like, how does it like, how, you know, keep people like, it's a worse experience, right? When there's a lot of ads.
It's horrible.
But somehow they figured out that like the perfect amount that'll like keep people watching. Yeah. You know, if they showed one more second of ads, they just leave.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'd say though is that, and I always remind myself when I see all those ads on the TV, watch normal like cable TV, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like straight up, my dad was watching something the other day.
It feels like a joke.
It was 3 minutes of back-to-back ads.
What's the cable meta now?
And I'm
what's
just like, playing on that was it. TV?
What place was he watching?
But they had like, for one show,
probably
I have no idea, but it was like one show. You think about it, they're like 20 minutes and then 10 minutes are ads.
And the 20 minutes is like stretched out to hell and back with like recaps and cliffhangers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, if you divide that out, you're like 20 minutes. And then if you have 4 2-minute and like 2.5-minute ads, you're like, I'm watching what, like a 4 minutes of TV?
10 minutes
or something? I'm saying 4 minutes, and then you get 250, two and a half of ads.
Show,
you watch 4 minutes,
ads.
You have 2.5 of ads.
Yeah. 1/3 ads.
But that's what I'm saying is like, if you divide it out, it's like you're watching like 4 minutes of a show and then over 2 minutes of an ad.
An hour
like
long show on TV
50%
is 20 minutes of advertisements playing.
Yes.
20 minutes of advertisement. Like when we were growing up watching TV and you watched an hour long show,
it's unbelievable.
You're being
20
assaulted.
Minutes straight of advertising.
And it's like, the show starts, you know, there's an ad, the show starts, you see the intro, another ad break right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's infuriating.
And then the credits are rolling, it minimizes it and plays ads underneath.
Yeah.
Like whether it's for the next show or an actual ad, like they cut all the credits out and everything so they can play more ads. No, I don't understand people's hesitation with, you know, you see all the sort of like ad block stuff where it's like, I get it, it's annoying. But also at the same time, like if there was no ad revenue,
People wouldn't do it.
I could not make videos. Nobody could make videos. Like the only reason we can do any of this is because of ad revenue and then direct audience support. Like the sponsorships help, but they're not consistent or regular enough. And they kind of get like a little bit more, you know, wobbly recently. I feel the past couple of years. Did Nigel freeze?
Oh no.
Did he die? I was like, he's been smiling the same smile for quite a while now. And
do you hear me?
I'm like, is your time, like you're not willing to pay like a penny per video you watch?
Yeah. Like, well, it's different. I mean, if you could just put a penny in there.
And how many videos do you watch a day? Like, I don't know, a couple dozen at the absolute most.
Four?
Like 5 pennies. Like that's like more money than you get from people watching videos. Like if you got a penny per like view counter on YouTube, like what would 300,000 views be? That would be
3,000?
Yeah, times 0.01. Yes, $3,000.
Yeah.
That's
way more
than you get. So like if you're getting, you could basically, if you had a small niche channel, so let's say like 300,000, because like, I mean, how much money? $3,000 a month when I first started YouTube, like would have been, I mean, that's kind of a long time. So you probably need to make like 5,000, like pay for stuff and then pay for your rent and everything like that. So like you have like 5,000 a month.
Yeah.
Just out the door would be like what? 500,000 views a month? And if you're posting a video a week, But if you have a small channel and you can get like 100,000 views a week,
yeah,
like that's your job.
You're making $125 a month.
You're making like $5,000 a month in.
Oh,
in,
okay.
If
okay.
people were paying a penny per yeah. view.
Well, just think about it. I mean, if you could slide a $1 bill into your computer,
yeah,
and then you could watch 100 videos ad free,
yeah,
that'd be sick.
That's great.
I would do that.
Right, and that's what I was like, that's the part of me that doesn't really understand. Like, there's not really an easy way to support art that you like. Is that Nigel calling? I can hear the Discord ping ponging. There's like no way to support art that you like at this affordable rate. It's like everyone's sort of middlemanning it. Like YouTube comes in and then like, you know, we've already talked about the whole music side of things where
yeah.
a ton of the money goes to the music industry. And we're sitting here like, hey, like I'm pretty sure people are on YouTube because of videos. And you like, actually, I have a feeling that if you took music away, you would like double the YouTuber revenue.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That's my suspicion. Yeah. So you can kind of like quickly see how
we're subsidizing the music industry.
You're subsidizing the music industry. You're subsidizing, you know, YouTube is taking money. Like we probably end up with like, I don't know, a quarter of the money people pay. If you're paying $10 a month to YouTube, that actually is only like $2.50 or $3 going to creators. And it's still more than ads. Like YouTube Premium is more money than ads. Like when it first started, at least I remember doing the math, like it's still more money than ads. But like going on someone's Patreon, then you're giving that $5 to one person, which is like, if you were doing a penny each, is like 500 videos.
Yeah.
And so it's like, how do you just give a creator a penny a video? Like, who's going to let that happen? I have no idea.
Well, you know, then once everybody tries to take their payment fees and their convenience fees on the platform and suddenly.
So that's stuff that we like have learned too. So with Sauce Plus, if you have a monthly subscription, which is more money, you're paying a credit card processing fee every month that it renews.
Oh, yeah.
So that then, you know, comes out of that total. And if somebody buys a year at once, it saves 11 credit card processing fees. And I don't know what it is, but it's like tens of cents, I think, or more.
Well, it's going to be like 3% of $7, probably after tax, too. So
yeah, so what is that?
$7.70.
You know, like the donut store charges is like 50 cents for a credit card transaction, right?
Wow.
7 times 0.03.
But those donuts
21
are
cents. 21 cents. So the credit card processing fee is like a quarter. So if you're doing that, you know, 12 times a year on a monthly subscription,
$3.
That's $3. Versus like a single, like you're buying the year at once, it saves a bunch of money.
Plus $3.
Right. And so like if you look at that across like everything.
75 cents. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like this, you know, it's more complicated than I realized because we're trying to figure out like, do more people want to do a yearly thing for less money? Do they do a monthly thing for a higher rate? A hell of a OBS.
Wow. Nigel's.
That's our test screen. Poo poo pee pee.
Well, how long have we been recording for? Okay. Well, let's do the extra then.
Nigel's ready to go over to Patreon, Mr. Poo Poo Pee Pee, to do our Patreon extra for the Safety Third podcast, which is literally only possible due to your guys' support on Patreon. The ad revenue, actually, you know what? I don't even care. We make so little money on ads that I'll just tell you right now what it is. You curious, Kevin? How much money do you think the Safety Third podcast makes in ad revenue every month?
Overall, $3,000.
In the last 28 days, we made $1,500 in ad revenue on YouTube.
Hmm. That's enough to watch 150,000 YouTube videos.
Yes, that is a lot of videos. That is, yeah, that is why
we have a Patreon.
Direct audience support is like basically the only way that a lot of content you want to watch can be made. And I really hope that we, you know, figure out how to continue to make the things we want to make that cannot be made on YouTube with the people that are hard to work with unless you have these resources, right? Because like if you're spending time with other YouTubers to make videos, then they're not doing stuff. And so this is basically the only way that I can see to make this work. Right, Nigel? Is he back? What happened? What's in the background? Are you like live animating in OBS? Okay.
He got lost in the booch.
Worm? What is that? Is it lip?
Oh, he's trying to
give him a huge juicy lip.
Yeah.
Resize. Juicier lip. You're zooming into the wrong thing. If you right now, free episode of Scare the Coyotes up on my YouTube channel. It's an hour or something. I don't know. I actually don't know exactly where the whole thing is gonna land time wise. And if you want the second episode, it's live right now on Sauce
Plus. I'm back.
So you go to sauceplus.com or a link in the description. There is 2 episodes available right now. And the second episode is only available on Sauce Plus. It will only ever be available on Sauce Plus. It will not go on YouTube. And next week, the 3rd episode. And the week after, the 4th episode. And it keeps doing that until we run out of episodes. It's 8 episodes. So the 8th episode, if our editing gets done in time, goes out the week after Open Sauce.
Okay.
So 1 a week. And I think at Open Sauce, we might actually maybe show the 8th episode if it's done.
Oh, that would be fun.
And then that is what it is. So $7 right now, if you do monthly, 7 something, you get the show, you get Open Sauce live,
all the
live version of Open Sauce, yeah, and the extra stuff we're going to film, including the exhibit tours and whatnot. And that all gets published basically instantaneously. We're not doing what we did last year where we made my poor editor go through the entire stage catalog to get everything out and uploaded. So it took forever. It will be done much better, much faster, instantaneously. And then we have the workshop show, The Good Spaces,
yeah,
that we've got, I think, like a few, 3 episodes, 4 episodes filmed. So there will be an episode of that up as well. And then essentially our entire channel backlog will be up with no sponsorships and no ads. So that includes any new video we make going forward, which will happen pretty soon. I have a video I want to do. I can't do it until I'm done with the editing Scare the Coyote, though. So thank you guys so much for supporting us. If you want to support Sauce Plus, you can head there. And if you want to support the Safety Third Podcast,
do you hear me?
I think we might put the Safety Third Podcast on it too.
Oh, yeah.
So then our Patreon will die. But you won't get Discord. You won't get any of the other benefits. You'll just get the extra content, I think. But hasn't happened yet. So we'll see you guys over on Patreon right now.
The Discord's the best part. Discord, you guys coming up are the best part.
Yeah. You guys coming.
Wait, are you guys ignoring me?
Nigel's back.
Hey, Nigel.
I said I've been here saying I'm back for like 3
Are you
minutes.
I thought
and
you were dead.
Responded.
What happened to your
me?
Video?
Your chair was empty.
You're on screen as like a sexier version of yourself with huge lips. Wait, how are you doing that manually?
I don't know what happened to my video?
John's just manually bumping. All right, we're gonna go to Patreon or do a Patreon extra, the extra podcast right now.
Okay.
You want to say tell everyone you love them?
I love them.
What?
What?